It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The American newspaper is as old as America itself. In fact, it's older, and it's become such an essential part of our lives that many other forms of news media rely heavily on newspapers. It's well known at this point that the newspaper industry, though, is not what it used to be. Let's listen to a clip from John Oliver with more.
Papers have been closing and downsizing for years, and that affects all of us. Even if you only get your news from Facebook, Google, Twitter, or Arianna Huffington's Block Quote Junction and Book Excerpt Clearinghouse, those places are often just repackaging the work of newspapers, and it is not just websites. Watch how often TV news ends up citing print sources.
According to the Chicago Tribune.
According to the Detroit Free Press.
According to the San Francisco Chronicle.
According to the Times-Picayune.
The Boston Globe.
The Orlando Sentinel.
The Philadelphia Inquirer.
The Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
The Detroit News.
And the Houston Chronicle reports.
The Los Angeles Times reports. The Oklahoman reports. The Hartford Current reports. The Salt Lake Tribune reports.
It's pretty obvious, without newspapers around to cite, TV news would just be Wolf Blitzer endlessly batting a ball of yarn around. And it is not just news outlets. Stupid shows like ours lean heavily on local papers. In fact, whenever this show is mistakenly called journalism, it is a slap in the face to the actual journalist whose work we rely on.
I feel that, John Oliver, because we're put credit where it's due. Every week we have news reporters on, print newspaper reporters on our program talking about their work. You know, this struggle really emerged in earnest at the start of the 21st century when the internet became more prominent, news shifted online, a majority of newspapers followed, offering both print and online outlets. But with this shift to digital news came a shift in how people consume news. And this has led to papers folding or consolidating. And Illinois is no exception to this issue, particularly downstate. Back then, you used to be able to find that small rural communities had at least one local paper. Many had more than one. But nowadays, you'll be lucky to find a paper that covers an entire county. And so for the rest of the hour, we're going to be looking at what newspaper consolidation or newspapers folding altogether have done to the state of local journalism in Illinois. These facts and more are highlighted by the work of the Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism's State of Local News Project, and we're joined now by its director, Zachary Metzger. Zach, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is David Porter, regional managing editor for the County Chronicle, which is a newspaper published in Douglas County, covering cities such as Arcola, Tuscola, Newman, and Villa Grove. David, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And it should be noted that the County Chronicle itself is a consolidated paper of the Arcola Record, Herald, Arthur Graphic Clarion, and the Journal, which, of course, was itself a consolidation of the Tuscola Journal and the Villa Grove News. So many compound names in journalism tell this story to some degree or another. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. What have you seen with local news in where you live in Illinois? 800-222-9455. All right, Zach, big picture. How would you describe the state of local news in Illinois?
So, in Illinois, the state of local news is kind of representative as a case study of what's happening across the country as a whole, in that it has been particularly hard hit. There has been a lot of loss of local news. There is still a lot that remains, but part of the challenge is that what is remaining is heavily concentrated in urban areas, and there is a widening gulf between who has access to local news and who doesn't. In Illinois, there's more than 440 news outlets total, more than 340 newspapers. And that puts Illinois actually fourth in the country in terms of the number of overall news outlets behind California, New York, and Texas. But again, those are heavily concentrated. Just 12% of those news outlets are in rural counties. The vast majority are in cities or in their suburbs. And at the same time, Illinois has also lost more than 250 newspapers over the last 20 years since 2005, which is a loss of 45%. And that puts Illinois second in the country for the number of losses behind only Texas. With that loss of newspapers has come a huge loss in newspaper jobs, and not just reporters, but all of the jobs the newspaper industry creates: logistics, transportation, salespeople. More than 50% of newspaper jobs have disappeared in Illinois since 2013.
David Porter, I know you're still fighting the good fight there, and we'll come to that later, but talk about how you've seen, you know, what the statistics that Zachary talked about playing out in your life, in your area, in Douglas County.
Well, when I grew up in Tuscola, it was a two-newspaper town, a town of less than 5,000 people. When I worked in Mount Vernon, that was a two-newspaper town. Of course, I'm sitting in Urbana right now, and Champaign-Urbana was a two-newspaper town when I was growing up. All those are now one newspaper town, and in Tuscola, it's one newspaper in the county. And going back a little bit further, Illinois had over 800 newspapers in 1990 when I started with the Illinois Press Association in Springfield. So it's the decline has been going on for a while.
Yeah, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, the names of these papers tell some of that story, right? You think of the Journal Star, the Post Dispatch, the Journal Register in Springfield, even the Sun Times in Chicago.
Yeah, in a way, that's been happening for over 100 years, and a lot of that is for different reasons. Back in the late 1800s, mid 1800s, a lot of small towns had 3, 4, 5 newspapers. And eventually they consolidated. The Arcola Record Herald, for instance, is the combination of the Arcolian, the Arcola Record, and the Arcola Herald, which were 3 newspapers, all operating in a town of about 2,000 people at one time. But over the years, economically, it doesn't make sense to have that many newspapers. A lot of them were political arms, so that was the reason so many towns had more than one newspaper, because they were on different political points.
Yeah. And I guess it makes sense. You wouldn't want to take up half the front page naming it the Arcola Record, Herald, Graphic, Clarion, Journal or something.
Right.
Yeah. Zach, talk about where in Illinois has been more severely affected by this trend of consolidation or closure.
So we think about the crisis of local news as a rural crisis. And in some ways it is, although if you look at where the most losses in terms of numbers have actually occurred, that has tended to happen in suburbs of large cities for this particular reason of consolidation. It's very easy, and those papers are particularly vulnerable to being consolidated into a larger urban parent. A lot of the small suburban papers on the North Shore above Chicago all got consolidated into the Chicago Tribune because they were all owned by the same chain. And that has been a major driver behind the loss of local news across the country, and in particular Illinois. The difference is, I think, for a lot of places downstate, is that when smaller rural community news outlets disappear, either through mergers or just shuttering their doors, it's very difficult to create an alternative and to establish a replacement in its place. And so this leaves smaller communities downstate with fewer options for local news, with fewer coverage opportunities for them, and fewer places to turn.
We need to take a break, and well, actually, let's do that. We'll take the break now. I'd love to hear from you out there. If you are somebody who, you know, I actually got my start at one of these very small local newspapers. I was covering the Manteno City Council for the Manteno Record, and there were other papers in the chain, the Piatone Vedette, the Crete Record. I was covering the Will County Board for that. If you are somebody who subscribed to one of these papers, do you still? Have you seen your paper consolidate or fold in your community? How do you keep up with what's happening? Let us know. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to continue this conversation on local news consolidation and closure here in Illinois. My guests are David Porter, regional managing editor for the County Chronicle, which is in Douglas County, Illinois, and Zachary Metzger, who is director of the State of Local News Project at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. Again, 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about local news in Illinois, particularly the consolidation or closure that has come from many small town news outlets outside the Chicago area, but also it's an urban story as well. My guests are Zachary Metzger, director of the State of Local News Project at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, and David Porter, regional managing editor at the County Chronicle in Douglas County, which is itself covering cities such as Arcola, Tuscola, Newman, Villa Grove, and is a consolidated paper from many other local papers that once existed in that area. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. David, talk about how news coverage has changed and how the County Chronicle has adapted to the times.
Well, you know, we're trying to cover more communities, like every newspaper, we're doing more with less, but we're still trying to get to all the city councils and the school board meetings and, you know, give the people in the county that coverage. And we've taken the tagline of bringing our communities together. You know, before when everyone had their own newspaper, if you were in Tuscola, you didn't know what was going on in Arthur and Arcola necessarily. Now with the county paper, you have access to that information as well. We think that's a good thing. So we try to look at the bright side on some of this.
How do you rate your ability to cover everything you think readers need to know about?
We do the best we can with what we have. I mean, we've got just a couple of full-time reporters, including myself. I still do reporting, and we use a lot of stringers, a lot of volunteers, a lot of contributions, and we keep a lot of balls in the air at the same time, trying to put it all together. And I think we do a pretty good job, but it's harder than it used to be.
Zach, what can happen to a community with the loss of a local newspaper?
There's a lot of things that can happen, and some of those are sort of tangible fiscal consequences. When a newspaper goes away, rates of corruption can increase, rates of police misconduct can increase, taxes can go up, and then...
And I should say, these are not abstract ideas. There have been studies on this, right?
There have been studies across the country in different places that have shown this. There have also been studies that have shown that civic engagement and voter participation can go down. Split ticket voting, where people are picking candidates from different parties that best represent their views and their sort of community needs, that sort of goes away. People tend to vote much more down the party line. Incumbents tend to be reelected more often. And overall sort of voter participation can go down. So there's a lot of those kinds of tangible effects. And then I would also say that local newspapers they allow communities to see themselves and to see themselves reflected. And that can bring communities together in a way that's really valuable for larger civic health. So when a newspaper disappears, you can lose a lot of that.
You know, a lot of people think they're keeping up with their community through social media like Nextdoor or Facebook groups. Zach, how well do those apps do in filling the gap?
I think that those essentially are just a sort of high-tech word of mouth. And while they can maybe give you some valuable information about a tree that's fallen and blocked a road or an event that's coming up at the local library, they're not going to be able to provide the context around a school board meeting or a town hall city council meeting, or the impacts of an election on the community and what that will mean for you in the way that a newspaper with professional reporters who understand the beats and understand the long-term context, a Facebook group is not gonna be able to replicate that.
I've talked, David, before. I used to work for the State Journal Register in Springfield. I was there 2008 to 2011. In fact, I just mentioned this last week on the show. I went back and looked up on the archive version of the website. There were 59 people listed in the newsroom at the time, mostly reporters, some editors, a few clerks. And now there are 6 people listed on the website there. I wonder, You know, and I can say I do not feel as informed about what's happening in communities right now. What sense do you have from people in Douglas County about how they get their news and how well informed they are?
Well, you know, we used to have 8 or 10 people working at one newspaper. Now we have, you know, 4 full time at one newspaper, covering all of those communities. And you know, there's a lot of information out on social media that in some ways tries to help fill in the gaps, and it's not super effective. I talk about with people when you go to the school social media site, you're going to get a lot of pictures of kids doing great things and celebrating the school, and that's all well and good, but you're never going to hear the negative side, something that happened at the school board meeting that maybe they would rather you not know. I don't want to sound like I'm picking on this on any school district. It's the same with police department social media or city social media. You're going to get those biased views going to those sites. And so that's really the role of the newspaper, is to take the unbiased approach and treat everybody fairly and accurately and thoroughly.
Zach Metzger, another issue that Illinois is facing is fewer people working in journalism, right? Say more about that.
It's a problem that's facing the entire country, but Illinois as well. And you know, you mentioned earlier that when you got your start, it was in small local newspapers. A lot of journalists leaving journalism schools do not go to start work in small local papers. They're going to larger metros, they're going to television. And so this has left a kind of brain drain for a lot of papers, even those with the resources to be hiring right now. And that loss in terms of journalists has exacerbated this problem. It has led to decreased coverage. It has led to the disappearance of some of the sort of classic beats of that a newspaper would provide, all as a result of there's just fewer people to fill those jobs.
And you have a stat in there, I don't have it in front of me, but from 2005 to the present, or the date of the report of the decline in the actual just employment in the journalism sector?
Yeah, it's about 70% of journalists have disappeared across the newspaper industry. To put that in some context, the newspaper industry has suffered more losses than any other industry except for textile manufacturers and manufacturers of DVDs.
Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting that 2005 was the benchmark year, because that's when I went through the graduate public affairs reporting program at the University of Illinois Springfield. And there were 22 of us in that class, which is the largest ever in more than 5 decades the program's been around. And I just looked at our recent alumni newsletter today, just I think 4 of us. There's one person that doesn't say what they are doing, but 4 of us are working journalists out of 22. So it really tells that story. David, do you have a hard time recruiting journalists? To the extent you even have job openings to work?
It is extremely difficult. You would think that with as many journalism jobs that have been lost, there would be journalists looking for work. But I think in the smaller markets like ours, it's especially difficult, and that may be partly a perception problem. A lot of journalists that, you know, they want to work at a national publication or maybe a daily newspaper. We're fortunate right now that we've got a reporter who is a recent U of I graduate with a journalism degree. And myself, I've been in the business for 40 years. But I don't look forward to having to hire reporters, because they're so hard to come by.
Yeah, we got a text message from Kevin in Farina, who pointed out the Farina News has served the community for many years, recently as a one-man show, which has limited distribution in the past couple of months. And I think that's probably a common story. Right?
It is very common. Yeah, the Oakwood paper is a one, basically one person operation. It's a very good newspaper. When I had my newspapers, I own 3 newspapers. I had 1 full-time employee between the 3 newspapers. So a lot of them are operated on shoestrings.
Zach, talk about how the current administration could affect small newspapers in particular? I guess this is yet another tariff story.
So I think the last thing I read, and I mean, these things are happening so fast that it's sometimes hard to keep up. The last I read, newsprint is being specifically excluded from the current round of tariffs, which there was a lot of concern that newsprint would become taxed more heavily, and that would lead to a lot of reductions in printing that a lot of papers would have to take on. But I think even more generally beyond newspapers, just thinking about doing business right now in the United States, a lot of costs are going to go up, in some cases a little, in some cases a lot. And for local news, it's such a precarious industry, and so many papers operate on such razor-thin margins that even a small increase in the cost of doing business, even just the cost of supplies, could have a pretty profound impact on the operations that that paper is able to do. So I think that we could see a wave of across the country and in Illinois of papers contracting some of their services, shrinking their printing schedules. This has already been happening across the country. A lot of papers, including some large ones, the Star Tribune in New Jersey recently, have ended their print products altogether. A lot of papers have been reducing their own in-house delivery fleets and just distributing through the Postal Service. And then there will be layoffs. So I think that all of those things could be happening as a result of things just becoming more expensive.
Terry emailed in from the Quad Cities, said, wanted to shout out basically Pulitzer Prize winner Art Cullen, who runs the Storm Lake Iowa Times Pilot newspaper, has been getting national recognition for the work he's doing there. David, how do you make the case for people to get back into the habit of taking the paper, picking up the paper, as they used to say?
I think a lot of that is on the newspapers themselves to make sure that they are relevant to the community. And we've done such a great job in the last 20 years of telling people how terrible the newspaper business is. We have not done a very good job of telling people how important we are and how great the newspaper business is. So I think that's what we need to do. We need to get to, younger markets. A lot of the loss of newspaper readership has been through attrition, people dying and their children or grandchildren not continuing those subscriptions.
Zach, what do you think? What's your prescription for saving local news?
I think that it's not a universal one-size-fits-all solution. I think it's going to have to come from a variety of different places. I think, the good news is that there is an awareness, a growing awareness of this problem. I think that there is also a very strong community desire in many places to keep their local news and a strong feeling of when it's lost, what is missing. The good news is that there has been some movement both from philanthropy in terms of establishing money to help support local news, as well as there's been some legislative developments that have happened. Illinois is the second state in the country after New York to pass legislation around supporting local news. That happened in May of last year, which includes a variety of measures such as tax credits for employee retention and hiring. Bluntly, fewer tax credits than was originally asked for and proposed, but not nothing, as well as scholarships for journalism students to stay within the state. And similar measures are on the books in about a dozen other states across the country as well. So hopefully there is some state-based legislative movements happening right now across the U.S.
I can tell you that the legislation...
Briefly, yeah, we're short on time, but go ahead. Yeah.
The legislation that has taken place has not made a lot of very small newspapers happy because they don't have employees, so they don't get that tax credit, and they don't take salaries out themselves. I owned newspapers for 8 years, never took a salary out. So a lot of those benefits don't necessarily apply to the smallest of the newspapers.
Huh. Well, that is fascinating. We'll have to take up that issue another time, though. David Porter is regional managing editor at the County Chronicle. Zachary Metzger is director of the State of Local News Project at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. David and Zach, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show. That is all the time we have. Coming up tomorrow, American libraries and museums receive federal funding through the Institute of Museum and Library Services. The Trump administration's trying to eliminate that. We'll talk about what that means here in Illinois. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening, and we will talk with you again tomorrow.